The difficult part is I put an Australian coin in there for scale, but I don't think he knows Australian currency that well.
He's just not impressed by seeing your member dwarf a $2 coin.
That's the problem. The 50 cent coin's too big.
Yeah, yep.
I'm in a real identity crisis here.
Nothing penetrates with Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of that TV series, and just trying to figure out what happened. Joining me to do this remotely is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm well. Back in lockdown.
Yeah, well, 2.0. You've been locked down a little bit longer than the rest of us, so.
Yeah, a week longer. I'm an expert now, you know.
See, you're used to it.
Yeah, just started, you know, sort of luring people that walk past my house into my dungeon and, you know, eating them.
Yeah, ooh. Nice. Well, you got to survive somehow.
Yeah. Supermarkets are too risky, you know. Better to eat hobos.
Naturally. Also, back is Aaron Boughton. Well, Aaron, you've never really left. You actually joined us for the last pod. How are you?
I'm good, Morgan. I was there. I wasn't locked up like Jeremy, but stage four sounds scary, Jez. I don't want to get lured into your dungeon.
Oh, yeah. Stage four is purely
a lot of people meet.
Pure cannibalism. Yeah, that's it. That's all they let you.
Okay. Well, at least you're warmed up for it.
Can't have cases if there's no people.
Scott, are you ready to start eating people, cracking their heads and feasting on the goo inside?
I mean, I think so. If I'm not, I'm probably maybe about a week from it, tops. And then I think I could start enjoying the Cadbury cream egg that is the human body.
Mm. That's what it, is that what it tastes like, Jess? I mean, you're accountable.
The head does. The skull does. Mm.
Yeah, of course.
The rest, not so much.
The skull, you know, people, big medicine doesn't want you to know this, but human skulls are made of, you know, Cadbury Dairy Milk chocolate for the most part.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah. It starts off, I mean, you're born with sort of calcium-based bones, and then as you get older, it starts to become, you know, the percentage of chocolate in your skull goes up, and your brain sort of kind of liquefy and turn into a delicious creamy center.
Yeah. So this explains why when cannibalism happens, it happens in this huge cluster because people get so excited and they realize how tasty the brain is.
They don't want you to know it.
It's like Easter morning.
No, exactly. It's actually the supermarkets are trying to suppress that information because once people work out that, you know, humans are both delicious and nutritious, no one will ever buy from Coles or Woolworths again.
So Jez, do some people have Yowie or Kinder Surprise like treats inside? Little toys
often,
to help pass the time?
Stupider people do, yeah. Well, it should be a brain is taken up by a little plastic figurine that's split into three parts that you can assemble.
Mm. Yeah, right.
It's a real, real puzzle.
So the ones that they sell in the supermarket, are they sort of like synthetic versions of what
they've
of
tried
what
to replicate it. It's right. Like how, you know, banana lollies don't taste like real banana.
Mm. So the real thing must be really good.
Oh, it's good, Scott. Anyway, I don't want to, you know, take all the material from my other podcast that people can subscribe to.
What's that called?
it's pretty straightforward. How to eat humans.
How to cook for 40 humans?
Yeah.
Well, it's only fitting that we're talking about cannibalism on the show we're doing today, which is Touched by an Angel, which is not something we've been circling around, but it is something that I can't believe we've overlooked it all this time. I can't believe it's taken us 4 years. It was 4 years yesterday, the day that we started this podcast. And it's only fitting that we are now here with
Happy Birthday
by an
Us.
Angel. Mm. Happy Birthday Us. So Teed by an A. Teed by an A.
Yeah.
Who came up with that?
I think it's only appropriate we refer to it as that name. Mm. Touched by an Angel is a bit crass.
It is. Jez, did you know anything about Touched by an Angel going into this?
Nothing. I think I'd heard the name of the show before, but you know, I assumed it involved angels.
You were aware of it, basically.
Yeah, that's all I knew. I mean, it's older than I thought it was. First aired in the mid-90s, which we were all probably too young to kind of be paying attention to what was happening on television.
Did it even air in Australia?
Power Rangers at that point.
It definitely.
I thought it was
Australia.
Actually okay. slightly. It was slightly. I thought it was older than what it was. I was actually surprised it wrapped up in 2004. Scott, Aaron, do you guys know anything about Teed by an A before we went into this?
Yeah, I'd definitely seen a few episodes. I feel like it was one of those shows where if you were homesick from school. It was on at about 1 p.m.-ish, something like that. Hmm. So, I reckon I've seen a few. The characters look very familiar.
Really?
Yeah. So, I'd seen a bit, and I know about the glowing light thing. I think everybody knows that, right? At some point, they revealed themselves as an angel.
Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. The very same.
We all know about that.
It is a... really... It's like the starting point guard for the Hallmark Channel. It's just on constant rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The poster child.
They get a lot of miles out of it.
The golden boy.
Big time. Big time. And it's I think this is our second really Christian focused show we've done. The previous being Seventh Heaven, which I think one of our finer episodes. So
was this Christian focused?
I don't. Believe
yeah,
it.
Actually, believe it or not, I don't know what Gavin.
I missed that completely.
Yeah, it's very subtle. Very, very okay, subtle. Right. Yeah.
You need to be a real scholar of the scripture like Morgan.
I thought they kept referring to God, but I thought they were just kind of mispronouncing dog.
Yeah. Did you think they were referring to Gary Ablett?
That was my thought. One of the two. It's like seemed very prescient.
When they talk about the big dog in the sky, they're talking about Randy Savage.
Oh, okay.
This one goes out to Macho Man.
Wasn't he alive when this... anyway, let's...
You really don't want to unearth his wrath.
Let's not dissect the timeline too much.
You don't want Macho Man smiting you.
I would not. Just off the top rope that is heaven. That's a huge elbow drop.
You should be wrecking it.
Picking up some serious velocity as he's coming through the atmosphere.
I would watch a reboot of the show where Macho Man Randy Savage is an angel.
Just instead of smiting people with lightning bolts, he smites them with
elbows of justice from the top rope.
He's not sitting on a throne in heaven. He's just got like a plastic folding chair. Just whips out.
Just throwing ladders at people from the clouds. Cage match versus the devil as the finale. I would watch the shit out of that. I just want to quickly touch on this show here. One of the aspects that hasn't aged very well is it has a guest star appearance from one Bill Cosby throughout the back here. He plays an angel in this show. That has not aged very well at all.
I have a feeling that's going to be one of the episodes that they don't put up on streaming services.
I would say that doesn't air very often anymore when he plays the Angel of Redemption, but apparently he was meant to have a big...
Redemption?
The role he was born to play.
Yeah.
There's a lot left in the Bill Cosby story yet.
Oh, yeah. So he's in a two-episode arc. Apparently he was friends with Della Reese, so that's why that's how they managed to get him on, because he was still pretty famous at the time. Because I think around the mid-90s. But definitely not a guest appearance that you'd want to hang your hat on anymore. So the less Bill Cosby you have in your show, the better at the moment. All right, well, look, should we just jump into episode one?
Let's dive right in.
In the pilot episode of Teed by an A, we're introduced to Monica, an angel newly promoted to case manager by God.
Hallelujah, I'm a case worker.
And there's her supervisor, Tess, who assigns her to stick with a young boy named David, whose mother has left the family after the death of her other child.
David, where is your mother?
I don't know. She ran away from home.
Disguised as a live-in nanny, Monica goes off book and tries to track the mother down, innocently mistaking a fugitive at a truck stop for the woman she's looking for.
You want me to go back to the creator of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the great I Am, and explain that the words of the Almighty were disobeyed because Monica's instincts kicked in?
After getting harangued by Tess, she inadvertently convinces David's real mother to come home, and it's happily ever after.
So she, the A teed the shit out of that C, right, in that episode? Can we say that?
What's the C?
The kid. Child.
Oh. Oh, okay. Child. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Not used to that being a C. Yeah. She teed him hard. She really fucked it, though. She did a bad job.
She did. Mm. She should have done like a, you know, just like a minute of research, and she should have could have determined which one of the two women was the one that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she just screwed someone else's life completely, even though she's technically a fugitive on the run. But so what did she do? She helped someone like blow up a power plant?
A long time ago, I was involved in a crime. I was 17 when I met Eddie. One day, he decides to declare war on the nuclear power industry and blow up one of those places you pay your electric bill.
I feel like she'd be like a, you know, a really well-known kind of criminal on the run.
Yeah.
When David's dad sees her in the bar, he like goes to her straight away. So she must be like notoriously.
Yeah, yeah. Wanted posters everywhere.
I'm not
everywhere.
Saying she's Hitler levels bad, but she's a couple of, yeah, you know, only a few steps below.
If a small town cop can recognize her, you know, yeah, I think she should have happened. Yeah, should have happened in like the 70s. If he can recognize her from 20 years on, you know, you've got it. You must have committed a very serious offense.
She's a full-blown terrorist.
Mm. You think that was inadvertently some good angeling because she assisted in putting her behind bars?
But then, why were they painting her as being, you know, like kind of sympathetic?
No, but didn't she get away?
You know,
she did get away, but you know, but now she's on the
lamb.
Yeah, exactly. It might be long. It's only a matter of time.
On lamb.
I would argue that catching her is more important than reuniting David with his mum. I would have just pivoted at that point if I was an angel.
Exactly.
Surely that's...
Priorities. It's not her department, though. She's in case management. Nothing to do with fugitive capture.
They don't really lay out the parameters of what they can and can't do too much in the first episode because when she does find David's mum... So David's mum's on the run because her 2-month-old daughter died in her sleep and she couldn't deal with it anymore, left David and her dad.
Mm.
And then she confronts, what's her name, Monica? Is that her name?
Mm.
Yep. The A?
Monica the angel.
Yep.
She confronts her and says, well, why were there no angels around the night that she died? Like, why are you coming to me now to reunite me with my son?
Very good point.
When you could have just, you know, stopped my daughter from dying. And she's like, it just doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. But it's all right. Here's a, you know, she's in heaven and, but she's still dead, but she's in heaven. And here's a small glimpse of, you know, what she's doing up there.
Being a baby
for all eternity. The rules don't let us kind of intervene at these moments. It doesn't.
We're very reactive.
So she's allowed to feel David at the start when she meets David.
Mm.
He like gets off the bus to walk home, and then he gets confronted by a street gang.
Give me that backpack.
That was fantastic.
They really want what's in an 8-year-old boy's backpack for some reason.
Real,
is he 8? Less?
More? I don't know.
About 8.
I'm terrible.
And they were probably about 12.
Mm.
That gang of kids was pretty intensely cliche with like cut off like flannel shirts, backwards caps. What's in the bag?
The butterfly knife.
Then she just uses her angel powers to fill his bag with rocks.
Yeah.
Mm.
Basically. Really then, weigh it down.
And then makes a butterfly knife disappear.
And then one of the gang guys is like, wait, have a look and see what's in there. Why is it so heavy? And he gets the knife out to like cut it open. It's got a zip. I don't get it.
That's how they open shit, Jez. Have you never been in a gang?
I haven't, sorry.
No zips.
You know,
no buttons. Just knives.
Gangs aren't allowed in stage 3 restrictions.
Okay.
So she can intervene in like petty matters like that, but she can't save people's lives.
But I guess
she can
so.
If they're about to get stabbed.
Sure. I mean, he wasn't going to die. He was just going to get his stuff stolen.
He might have. There's a lot of... They didn't have sleeves, Scott. I don't know if you saw that.
It's true.
No, but they you are right, Jez.
They needed the arm flexibility to be able to, you know, shank kids.
And to rob people. Yeah. You are right, Jez, in the way that it very much picks and chooses, like, just story-based of what their powers have. Like, yeah, we can't know that this child died and the mother's alive, but we can put rocks in a kid's bag and we can take knives, but we also don't know who a fugitive is. It's just very... Like, the powers aren't really well mapped out at all. It's just like they started writing it and went, oh, shit, okay, well, this works, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, like, annoying because it's like, these people are meant to be angels.
Because
they map out the internal logic, you know, as the episodes progress. But in the first episode, there's not a lot of consistency as to when they can apply their angelic powers.
Because the way that they set it up, it sort of seems like Monica is going to be... Like, she was... in like angel form and now she's in human form and everything that can kind of happen to you as a human is like that's possible now.
Yeah, she's more invested.
But she's still got like crazy strong powers to like make things disappear and
yep.
Like, yeah, it's very grey. Very, very grey.
What department was she in before?
I was like search and rescue
search
or something.
Search and rescue?
Yeah.
You've been taken off of search and rescue.
What?
Well, I guess you did a pretty good job with that 747. Because somebody, and I do mean somebody, has decided to give you a promotion.
She used to like pop in for a few minutes into a human body, maybe go drag someone out of a river, then back to heaven.
Mm.
Okay, right. River dragging.
Yeah.
Got it.
So is the idea here that like nobody saves anybody? It's just angels. It's just like angels getting into your body and doing stuff for you.
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering. Was Monica an actual person before, or did they magic up that body out of heaven?
Mm, great question.
Did she steal someone's life?
Maybe she... I'm assuming that people... She must have died around that age and then gone to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like sainted or something.
And got promoted, you know, just really grinded it out, started entry-level heaven job and...
White-anting her way up. Know,
promoted all the way to angel, search and rescue angel.
Sweet gig.
It is a pretty sweet gig.
Long hours, though. Let's shift focus and talk about the dad. Because I want to talk about the dad, how basically...
The world's he's so generic.
He was very James Woods, hair, I thought.
He does look like James Woods, except with more feathered hair.
Yeah,
The thing that struck me most is straight off the bat when he gets home and David's brought home this mysterious woman without shoes and she's just in the house and he's so just nonchalant about the fact that she's there.
Hello, Mr. Morrow. My name is Monica. I'm here to interview for the nanny position.
Great. So you read the ad?
Like, oh, hi, you must be here about the nanny job. Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
I'm a great nanny, but I never wear shoes.
And I have great references, but I'm not going to give any of them to you.
Yeah. Met your son on a bus.
Yeah, she never actually gives the references. She just kind of says that they exist.
Oh, yeah, very good reference.
Do you have any references?
Oh, yes, I have great references. And I'm a very hard worker.
Like the joke is meant to be that God's a reference.
But... Mm-hmm. They seem to really go out of their way to mention that she's like, I'll never take a day off. And then the next day she's like, I need to take 3 days off. I thought that was really strange.
It's not a good start.
No.
He's like, don't worry, I got someone else to cover you.
That's what he gets for not really vetting her properly before she started. He basically just... just the fact that she said she had references was enough. He didn't need to hear from those references.
And this is a live-in nanny. This is someone moving into your house.
Mm.
And then she's like...
She's pretty hot, so...
Yeah. Furthermore, he's a cop as well. So you would think just by his normal instincts would be to vet her
quite
thoroughly. And he just he's like, oh yeah, cool. No, you seem legit.
Could run a background check and think, hang on, this woman doesn't exist as far as the state of Nevada is concerned. She's not a person.
Yeah.
But don't worry, she's gonna skip out while she gets the woman that she hangs out at the bus stop to come and look after my kid.
You raise a good point there, Aaron, I want to get into in the last episode about the forms that they take and whether they kind of exist outside of the moment that they sort of enter the mortal plane.
Yes.
Because the devil just kind of appears out of nowhere in the last episode. But we'll get to that.
There wasn't another angel appearance in this episode where Monica ran into a colleague, I suppose, someone who escorts people to the other side. So... there was an ambulance taking a dead body out and she was like, oh, Tony, good to see you here. And this guy's just
ran out the front.
Really jazzed about his job of taking people to the other side.
I'm escorting Mr. Phelps to his reward. Wonderful man. He wanted to go this way at home and I'm so happy for him.
He looks like a killer. Like, it looked like he just walked out and he just kills that person inside.
Yeah, yeah, he wakes up every day just like, oh, I cannot wait to see which dead body I stumble across now.
It looks like he was like a fake, like, house-calling doctor from, like, the deep south in the 1920s with that, like, white suit, making house calls and, you know, killing people with medical procedures. Got a huge body count. Now he's an angel.
Would have been so easy to get away with it in those days.
Mm.
Now these days you have to wait till stage 4 restrictions. Got to induce a whole pandemic.
Put people into your dungeon. Oh, you would have thrived in the 20s, Jez. You would have thrived.
People can be redeemed, Morgan. Just look at Bill Cosby, you know.
Watch that episode, Morgan. You'll learn a thing or two.
I think the timeline doesn't support that.
What do you mean? He was in this show. Nah, let's not get into it, Cosby talk yet.
No, no, we'll save that for episode 2.
I'm going to jump into... I'm going to revisit a question from our last episode from Third Rock from the Sun. Jez, you won't be familiar with this because at the time of recording this, we haven't released that episode yet. But if you were in a scenario where you were driving a car and then somebody who you'd seen like 5 minutes ago pops up in the middle of the road, as Monica does,
yes,
to the mother, and then like makes the car just disappear... Are we talking magic? Are we talking aliens? Or are we talking religion? What do you think? What would you assume is going on?
The age-old question.
She doesn't seem to bat an eyelid. It doesn't even bother her.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're an angel. Oh, who gives a shit?
She's concerned about the fact that she's in the middle of the
road.
Yeah,
her safety.
She could have got hit. She doesn't think about the why.
But she just makes the convertible just disappear. Like, surely. You're like, okay, this person is got some sort of ability. Yeah. Because she turns around and the car's just gone. And she does it to sort of like prove that she's an angel. But like, what would you be thinking if somebody did that to you? How would you rationalize that in your brain? Would you think they were an angel?
She got one of her mates to steal the car.
They work fast.
I don't know. I wonder how much tolerance the human sort of brain has for these sorts of unexplained events. Like, surely you'd try and fill in the gaps and assume that you'd always... until the last moment, assume that it's not something supernatural that's happening.
Mm.
So she probably would be like, oh, I probably just had a friend behind the bush that drove off in the car and I, you know.
Your friend David Copperfield.
I must have blacked out for a second there. I should have been doing all that morning drinking.
Mm.
Got to get through the day somehow, Jez.
You do.
It's a lonely life out in that that truck stop that has one visitor a day and they got three people working
one gas
there.
Pump.
Yeah. One dynamic I wanted to talk about was when Monica went to that diner and she was talking to the two staff there, one the fugitive, one David's mum, and she was saying she was sniffing that cup of coffee thinking, oh my God, this is amazing. I forgot how good it tasted.
Mm. This is incredible.
You can drink it too.
I was never actually allowed to stop and have a cup of coffee before. This is quite a treat.
Really was like they were drawing the parallel of her kind of getting out of a bad relationship where she was... kept inside, not let out by her husband at all. So it's kind of like now that she's got a promotion, she's out of her abusive relationship with God.
I thought maybe you were insinuating that she was like a Fritzl type scenario.
Hey, what? Sorry,
a Fritzl type scenario.
Like she was trapped in a basement.
Explain that,
and
please.
Escaped.
Oh, okay.
It's not a million miles away.
Well, I mean, yeah, that isn't. Yeah, that's kind of the same thing.
Okay. God had her in a basement.
God trapped her in the basement of her mind.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's finally
really angling the dungeon theme today, aren't you, Jez?
Well, I mean, you know,
an extra week of lockdown has really done things to you.
Goes hand in hand with the lockdown. I'm feeling like I'm in Daniel Andrews' dungeon right now. He's fritzling us all.
Is Daniel Andrews your God?
I want to see that sign out the front of your house, Jez. You just like on your picket fence, just Daniel Andrews is fritzling us all. Yeah, got to get the word out. Yeah. Tell the people.
Hey, wake up, sheeple.
You'll be on Sky News in a couple of days.
It's a very spicy take, but I'm willing to ride it.
The whole bureaucracy of heaven is very unappealing.
Yeah.
It's really not what you want heaven to be. Like, can you imagine dying and then having to climb some fucking ladder?
Corporate ladder, yeah.
Yeah.
I assume that they were just kind of let loose to, you know, intervene where they saw fit. I thought they had sort of more, more discretion, but it's all very mandated.
Yeah. Tess is real.
Go through middle management.
Yeah, she's a real micromanager.
There are angels for every job, Monica, and this one wasn't yours. There's a rhythm to life, sweetheart. And when we disturb it, things like this happen.
You gotta stick to the plan.
A lot of red tape to cut through once you get to heaven.
Mm.
Yeah, you spend 50 years working for the man, retire, die too young before you can enjoy it, and then you're back at the bottom of the ladder.
Working for the big man.
Who do you think would handle the managing the state of Victoria better, Daniel Andrews or Tess the Angel?
Tessa really try and stick the course. I think they probably do a very similar job.
So no matter what, how you look at it, whether it's the Angels or the state government, we'd still be heading back into stage 3 lockdowns.
I would appreciate it more if Daniel Andrews busted out like a song, you know, at the conferences.
Yeah,
that press conferences. That'd be nice.
Yeah,
that'd be down the road.
Get the real gospel vibe. Whole press club clapping
musical
along.
Premiere. That's what this tragedy is really lacking. Someone with a bit of flair in your press conferences.
Exactly.
This is why Schwarzenegger made such a good governor. He really brought the energy. You know, that gets everyone real jazzed up.
More energy.
This show though is really weirdly just slow paced. Everything's so slow.
Yeah, not really a lot happens. It feels like you could solve the problems a lot quicker.
But even the storyline's quite slow, but even like the dialogue and the transitions, the pacing, everything's just like, and even the last episode, the quality didn't necessarily drop, but it didn't go up either. It was just really just, yeah, it's like it's made for people to
really
keep up.
Contemplative? Is it just designed for old people that, you know, can't follow the storylines if
that's
kind of
what
there's
I was
too
thinking.
Much happening? Or...
It's the only thing that makes sense, really.
It's a very simple premise.
Oh yeah, and there's virtually no B storyline. It's singular focused on one thing. And I can't imagine there's a lot of story arcs that run across seasons. It's really just episode to episode.
I mean, you never really get a lot of B story in a pilot though.
I suppose not. But then you didn't have one in the finale either. But
and it seems like
maybe we're just used to seeing finales that have like, you know, 10 different plates that they're spinning where they're trying to kind of wind everything up at
Magnum PI style.
Magnum PI style.
Yeah, it seems like something they angle for is that all people are inherently good, because even the like the fugitive on the run who had blown up a power plant or something, she was just covering up for someone she loved, and the mother who ran away, she was just grieving. The only bad guy in either episode was literally Satan.
Yeah, it is very, very, very positive in that sense. I thought they were going to paint the guy in the diner that she first meets. He seemed he was going to be a bit sleazier.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Jerry. I'm in medical supplies, veterinary.
As if that's like what you would lead with when you're meeting someone. You sell medical supplies to vets.
I mean, let's be honest. He was probably Satan.
Probably, yeah. I got that vibe.
He might have been.
If he's anything like the veterinary supply salesman I've met.
The one other thing I want to mention, I want to get back to the dad again. In the end part of that first episode, when you know the mother comes back and they're all excited, the family's reunited. He's just at home, like they're all just the father and son are just at home hanging out. Did you notice he's got his like service weapon?
It's on him all the time.
Why are you carrying a pistol? Like you're it's just.
He's got to be ready to go at a moment's notice.
Snatching bucks again off the counter. You know,
he's got to waste him.
He's on his third strike. He's taking him down.
Thieving little piece of shit. Yeah. He's gonna have to clip him.
Like to prove the fact he's a cop. Why does he have to carry his pistol everywhere?
Makes him feel like a big man.
Right, well, it's America. Come on.
Yeah, you're right. Extension
of his penis.
Oh, I know where you're going with this, Jez.
Could be his penis.
Could be. This show was pretty lame. It's very slow. It was quite boring, and it was
real lame. I don't know what else we were expecting.
Yeah. I know, but I was hoping there'd be a little bit more substance for us to sort of cut through. But it's just really not. It's just quite. It is what it is. It's very. It's such a Christian focused show. It's very positive vibes, but nothing really happens.
Well, do we want to cut through the devilish final episode of Teed by an A?
Let's do it.
Monica has changed assignments and now seems to be the resident angel for a small town where 46 children died in a school fire. Zach, a drifter, is on trial for rigging a dodgy boiler to blow up the school, and naturally, the devil is prosecuting the matter.
Do you know him?
You know that God is real.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Satan is real too, and he is here.
And alas, the town lawyer is no match for the omnipotent prosecutor, with Zack being found guilty. However, as it turns out, the local intellectually disabled man was the one who accidentally blew up the school in an attempt to keep his secret kittens warm, but under the careful coaxing of Satan.
See that valve on the heater? I bet if you turned that up, the heat would rise and the kids would be much more cozy.
But none of this matters because Zack is actually God. He reveals himself on the mount, and the tragedy served as a training exercise to test whether Monica was ready for a promotion to senior vice angel. There's the meat for you, Morgan.
There's the meat. No beast storyline there.
So all the children in that town died in an explosion?
All of them.
That's dark.
43.
That's really dark.
And it was just to test whether... Was the whole thing sort of fabricated to test whether she was ready for the next step? Because kind of that seems... I don't know if that's very angelic. I feel like they've got... Maybe they think that they're the angels, but they're actually... She's actually Satan. Because Satan was a prosecutor trying to put away the person that killed 46 children. How is that a devilish thing to do? It was all very backwards.
It is. It really is.
And they also implied that there was... That had happened in multiple other towns. So there's like five towns around middle America where just all of the children have died in some sort of weird boiler accident at a school.
Are you aware that over the past 2 years, explosions have occurred in those towns that have cost the lives of many innocent children?
What are these boilers made of? Do they have like uranium cores?
The people are strangely cheerful for how dark that would have been. Every single child in the town is dead.
In a small town of a population of a few hundred people max, imagine that happening. Like, that town would no longer exist.
Yeah, get wiped off the map.
Absolute tragedy. Everybody would be out the door.
Just never recover.
Satan's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy for trying to put someone away for it. Doesn't make sense.
I was going to say this for the end of... I was going to say towards the end of this, of talking about episode 2, but I got to bring it up now. Can we just talk about how... So... Even though he wasn't guilty, Zach, he still got convicted of murdering 54 people, including 46 children. All of this happened within a few days at a local court in the town where it happened, with local people on the jury.
Was it at the local courthouse?
No press.
And then he goes to federal prison. At no point the state was going to intervene with this murder.
Jez, you're a lawyer. Is this how it works?
I don't think this is how it works. The prosecutor is just some guy that turns up as well. Does he just kind of, does Satan just appear as the prosecutor, or has he got a whole backstory to that character that sort of coincides with him being appointed to prosecute this matter?
You can't
just kind of apparate. And then come in and prosecute.
I looked up couple of YouTube clips. Satan appears in a few episodes where the people confront him, and he just appears as different people, and he just orchestrates different things, like evil doings, as he did.
He goes by many names.
So is it kind of like an agent in The Matrix?
He
can just kind of morph into someone else?
The clip, I don't know whether he takes up someone else's body. The clip I watched was like, a town going to confront these two guys that murdered someone. It was like a hate crime. And then the devil was like a mechanic. And Michael Chiklis is the mayor, and Michael Chiklis from The Shield, and he confronts the devil with the townsfolk, and it's like, and then the guy admits to being the devil and disappears. And like, his voice goes all rah, 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 rah. So it's all, I'd say.
That's good devil.
Really?
That's you the could devil be the voice. Devil. Yeah, rah, rah, rah. Like he's gargling,
cookie
rocks.
Monster.
And also, like, they kind of left it up in the air at the end. So, does Zack go to federal prison and get shanked?
But this is the other thing.
And does Simple Jack kind of just get away with it?
Well, this.
And also, why is that boiler so precarious? Why is it that you turn it up a little bit and the whole school blows up? Shouldn't someone like gone in and fix that?
Surely there's a difference between like 20 degrees like a live and bomb. 50 people dead.
But still, with that, he got convicted. He was convicted in a court of law, albeit a local court, for 54 counts of murder. He escapes. The police aren't that concerned about it. And then a handful of local people in the local diner work out, it was, Simple Jack. I don't know what the character's name is now. I sound like an asshole.
I don't know what his name is.
But they just work it out there. And then everyone's like, that's how it must have happened. And but it's, still, wouldn't the state police be a little more interested in the fact that this guy, this teacher, have got away?
Yeah, yeah, especially because a lot of the evidence was based on circumstantial things of him having blown up other towns. Like, they paint him as a serial killer, and then he's like, oh, you've traveled around a bit. You've been to these places. Did you know that schools you also blew up there?
Yeah, this guy's killed, like, 300 people.
Yeah, yeah. He's really using the Simpsons cop logic on Steve Sachs.
Well, well, Steve Sachs from New York City.
I heard some guy got killed in New York City and they never solved the case. But you wouldn't know anything about that now, would you, Steve?
But there's hundreds of unsolved murders in New York City.
You don't know when to keep your mouth shut, do you, sexy boy?
You know, convict you of every unsolved murder.
But still, can we go back to the fact that these children were just sitting on a time bomb? And
it's kind of insane. Like,
why are they just, you know, shut the school down for a few days and fix the faulty boiler?
So really should own a lot of the responsibility for this.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
They killed these children.
All it took was some guy like adjusting the knob a little bit and the whole school blows up.
The whole town was aware it needed to be replaced, but we're still going to send our children to this place where there's a time bomb that could go off at any time with a slight
simple
adjustment.
Jack sitting
Who's
on a powder
the plumber
keg?
That worked on the, you know, the heating system at the school? I feel like he's probably got a little bit of the responsibility.
Got a lot of blood on his hands.
Dialed it right up so that it's just on the just on the fringe of blowing up at all moments. Keep things spicy. And what's with the? Why is he hiding kittens under the school?
That's like the most Time Life thing ever. Just a box of kittens need to get warmed up.
Yeah,
that's high drama.
It kind of. I really couldn't get past anything else. The fact that they just swept across.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, all happening in a local court as well. It's just kind of absurd. I'm pretty sure if that was actually happening, they probably would have lynched him on the spot. The people would have been that mad about the fact that he's been convicted of murdering 46 children, like the local children.
Every single child in town.
Yeah.
Like he's not getting a state prison.
These people have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
And somehow the evil one in all this is the guy trying to put him away.
Satan.
You're a classic lawyer, Jez, siding with Satan.
Of course, I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad guy.
There's some great C-list guest stars in this episode as well. Patrick Duffy playing the famed TV soap opera actress playing the lawyer there with the grey hair. No, Patrick Duffy.
Yeah, what's he from?
He looks familiar.
Like, the name's familiar.
He's in all the American soap operas. He was in like Dallas and I think like. All those.
The name's probably familiar because I've been watching 30 Rock. So.
Yeah, TV's Patrick Duffy. The other one was David Ogden Stiers, who played the prosecutor, who's Frank in MASH. And then the other one, which was a guy I know a little bit about, but no one else will, which is Scott Bairstow, who played Jesus. He was in Wild America, and then he was in The Postman, but he was also in this Chris Carter series, like it was like a follow up from The X Files called Harsh Realm, and he got done in for actually sexual assault, and his career ended like pretty much around the time this show would have aired.
Oh, the actor,
interesting,
not doing enough, too so. Well. The old Touched by an Angel cast,
the casting agent got a lot to lot to answer for.
You were right,
Cosby,
Morgan.
This guy,
you were right, Morgan. You know a bit about him, and literally no one else does.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I only know him because I've watched that show, Harsh Realm. I watched it all because I was like really into Chris Carter shows, and I'm like, I've seen this guy, and I went like an IMDb deep dive on him when I saw him. And I'm like, oh right, why isn't he in more? Oh, he's not in more because of sexual. Yeah, right, that'll do it.
It's not ideal that the show's got touched in the title, and we haven't done a deep dive into the cast, but we've already come across two guest stars that have been convicted of
sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
Using Satan's prosecution techniques, you could probably convict them all right now.
Mm. Yeah, but you got to look for the good in them. Mm. The real bad person here is the person trying to put them away.
Aaron, I know you're a big CSI fan. How excited were you when the devil prosecutor put the sunglasses on, did the Horatio? Only thing missing was the
hood. That touched me hard.
It was pretty good because he put them on just like kind of down his nose a little bit and then said, I don't know what his one liner was, and then just pushed them up.
Oh,
It was great.
They were real early 2000s sunglasses as well. I'm pretty sure.
Classic Devil.
They're ball A's, I can just tell from a mile away.
Classic Devil.
Be walking around talking, go, man, these sunglasses. They look like the cars aren't wearing, the cars don't have windshields.
How satisfied were you guys with the mid-episode ballad in the middle of this episode?
Daddy never went to church on Sunday. He said, that's one thing I'll never do.
Yeah, the
from local
the cop.
He's like, I don't play much guitar anymore. And then he like picks it up, and he's already wearing a thumb pick.
Yeah. Ready
but
to go.
Still at a moment's notice.
Guys, I'm hopeless. I'm hopeless. I've been on Letterman a few times.
Did he also say I don't do much praying anymore? And then the song is called like Mama Prayed. Yeah, this guy's a liar.
I did some research on him as well. He was a country music singer, Randy Travis.
Is he really?
Yeah. Oh God.
He was on.
Hasn't been convicted of any.
Nah, he was clear.
Sexual crimes.
All clear. All clear.
Okay, good.
Got the all clear
for now, at least.
He looked tiny when he was standing next to Patrick Duffy, though. Was that just me? I always notice people's size in shows. Look really, really short, like a really skinny, short guy. He's a sheriff.
You can't be a sheriff if you're.
Nah, you gotta be at least 6'5". Yeah, you gotta look like Penn Jillette.
The Rock. Morgan's been watching too much Walking Tall.
Exactly.
I've never seen Walking Tall. I assume The Rock's some sort of authority figure in it.
Well, it was.
I've seen the poster.
Have you seen that?
Surely not Johnny Knoxville.
No, you saw that. You saw the second one, didn't you? With Kevin Sorbo. No, you're a big
Too Walk Too Tall.
Yeah, you're a big Sorbo guy. I know that.
There were two good moments that bookended this episode. One was the introduction by who was it? Carol Bassett. Was it? So she stands.
Oh, she's like a showrunner or something.
A black backdrop with the director's chair, introducing the finale of Touched by an Angel.
On September 21st, 1994, an angel named Monica walked barefoot out of the desert and into American hearts and homes.
What a line. And then in the closing moments where it was God talking to Monica and it's all light coming through clouds, very emotional. It just does that little sort of zoom out where there's a promo banner comes around and it says, up next, shopping infomercial. It's like, great. That's what you want.
Can you imagine if you'd watched the show for 8 years and then the final moment where you finally get to see God. Like, don't forget to buy some of our useless shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that really sums it all up.
I'm just looking at some of the people that appear. They had a lot of guest stars who were pretty full on.
What do you mean full on?
Well, they've got a list on the Wikipedia of people that did appear in early episodes, and they've got Jack Black, James Marsden, Shia LaBeouf, Brie Larson, Kirsten Dunst, Justin Timberlake, and Bryan Cranston.
Bringing some heat.
Yeah,
that is.
Maybe it did really walk into people's lives out of that bus stop.
Yeah,
I looked at that list. Marsden and Black were like two teenage burnouts in the same episode.
Oh, nice.
And they had to get
sleeves on those sleeves.
No sleeves, come on. Cheers, please.
They're ready to do some stabbing.
Exactly, the professionals.
Optimal mobility.
You can really kind of like cut through the air with your stabbing thrust without sleeves. You guys should try it one time. Have we got any more to say about this finale? Or are we ready to move into some reboots?
No, I think we're ready to move into some reboots.
Would you let me go first? Is that all right? Because mine's pretty quick.
All right, go for it.
Sure.
So everyone remembers how popular street magician TV shows were in sort of the early 2000s to mid-2000s.
You sort of David Blaine.
Yeah, David Blaine. You're Chris Angels. well, this is a bit of a reality show. Try to, you know... inject some life back into Chris Angels' career. You know, get him back into that. I'm assuming he's still alive. I don't know. He might have like kind of chained himself up and drowned in a glass casket full of water, suspended by a crane above like a crowd of people. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But it is basically he will be providing sort of relationship advice to married couples that maybe have lost a little bit of spark in the bedroom and need someone to come in and, you know, jumpstart things. And it is called Cucked by Chris Angel. And and yeah, basically that's it.
God.
I'm going to obviously show full penetration each episode.
Perfect for midday naturally. TV.
It's great. Well, there is this like little sweet spot in midday TV where you can get away with showing a nipple or two.
Get away with full penetration.
You guys have noticed.
And you reckon you could slip full penetration inside that as well? You reckon there's enough scope for that?
It's going to be a long time before the censors realise what's happening because no one watches midday TV.
It's true.
True. It was on the air for 19 years.
So, cucked by Chris Angel.
And so, does it sort of keep the same kind of street magic aesthetic? That sort of like floating camera. He's like walking down the street trying to find people.
But
and
also
then...
a lot of soft focus and kind of light behind him with his hair billowing. I'm merging the two aesthetics.
Or maybe like that's what you see. Yeah. I'm probably going to cut that out.
Congratulations, Scott. You just,
weird.
You're on the show.
Oh, it's made geez. Even better, Jez, by you're incredibly well lit at the moment. You've got on the webcam, you've got that real angel.
Chris
vibe.
Angel just Chris Angel just
yeah.
I'm getting cucked by Chris Angel right now.
Oh, God. This is actually not your idea. It's not an original idea.
You can hardly believe it.
No, well, it's already started. We're filming episode 2.
All right. All right. Well, do you guys mind if I go second? Because I think I'll wholesome it up a little bit. Go the other direction.
Okay, please. Great.
Zag.
So I'm going to zag, yeah. So anyway, I think the title of this show is pretty good. But I've got a little bit of I got some inspiration for this. So it's going to be called Touched by an Angel. But basically, I'm getting 5 born-again Christians to come into people's lives and Christian them up. Essentially, I'm going to get celebrity born-again Christians. So I'm going to get Kirk Cameron, Gary Busey, George Foreman, Stephen Baldwin, and Melissa Joan Hart are going to go into celebrities' lives and then just Christian them up. So basically, especially atheists. So first episode, we're going to go after Joe Rogan, and we're going to turn him into a born-again Christian. So they come in and basically they all represent different things of Christianity and try and get you to cross back over and get you born again. At the end of the episode, you get baptized and then you're Christian again. So,
so you got like Christian fashion, Christian cooking,
Christian music,
Christian fashion, Christian
hairstyling techniques,
Christian culture. So take Kirk Cameron will do the Christian culture. So he's going to take you to church and get you back involved with God. You know, actually, I'm going to take out Gary Busey and put Dog the Bounty Hunter in there instead. Christian.
Oh yeah, I mean
Christian Dog
keep,
Christian,
keep Gary Busey in keep, there.
All right, I'm going to just add Gary Busey in.
I feel like you need some muscle to take down Rogan. So the dog with some bear mace will probably.
I've got George Foreman there. So.
Oh yeah, he can bring his like seven George Juniors to come in. It's some muscle.
George is going to do the Christian
mini Georges.
George is doing Christian cooking. Stephen Baldwin's doing Christian fashion.
God's meat, nothing but Christian food is nothing. Just the grease drained from steaks completely.
Exactly, healthy living. That's my reboot. Is Touched by an Angel. It's just celebrity Christian born again Christians going into atheist Christians' lives and then turning them into Christians.
Atheist Christians.
Atheist celebrities.
Yes. I mean, atheist celebrities.
Atheist celebrities. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Come on, Morgs. Yeah. I'm trying to pitch this to us. We're trying to get the show up.
It has legs.
I would watch the shit out of this show. I think the conversion
like
rate would
be
0%.
The Fab 5, though.
You don't like? I mean, I picked out born-again Christians.
Mm. Yeah, we need like some more high-profile ones.
Is Melissa Joan Hart a born-again Christian?
Apparently. I just Googled it.
Didn't she get like a real copping from the Christians when she was doing Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Probably why she's a born-again Christian, to sort of erase that.
Oh, okay.
Have we done Sabrina? I think we have.
We have done Sabrina, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Come on, Jess.
Just making sure.
You've only got to remember 61 episodes.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. I'm going to jump in with my reboot. So, I really like this idea of heaven as a bureaucracy. You've got to climb that ladder. But I'll tell you what, there is one element that is really missing, and that is efficiency. There's 7 billion people in this world. We're going to hit some KPIs because these angels are going too slow. So, welcome to the new reality game show in which 3 angels compete for a promotion, Rushed by an Angel. Now, I'm aware that you are all angels. Is that correct? You've all got your credentials?
That is. Especially Jess.
Correct, yes.
In that lighting.
All right. We're going to go through three quick rounds, and you're going to have to solve some problems really quickly.
Or like some ethical dilemmas?
Absolutely.
Does the winner get a promotion?
The winner will get the promotion.
Nice.
So, round one. Time starts now. Angel Morgan, a young girl in Charlottesville, is being made fun of for her dyslexia. How do you help her?
I incinerate the children that are teasing her for her dyslexia.
Okay, great. We're going on to Angel Aaron. A lawyer in Michigan hit a neighbor's dog and blames himself for how unhappy the neighbor's child now is. How do you help?
Turn the child into a dog.
Okay, fantastic. Angel Jeremy, a widowed baker in New Jersey loses her wedding ring in a batch of profiteroles and sells the batch to an orphanage. How do you help?
You cut the orphans open one by one until you find the ring.
All right.
To her back. They're orphans. No one's going
to
miss them.
Fantastic. All right, we're going on to round two. Back to you, Angel Morgan. A group of Boy Scouts in Bakersfield are involved in a flash flooding and are stranded. How do you help?
I think you probably just let this one go. We should maybe just let nature take its course and let the floodwaters drag them away.
God's intention. I like it. Angel Aaron. In Honolulu, a surfing instructor and her husband are sleeping in separate beds after she takes her father-in-law out for a surfing lesson and he drowns. How do you help?
I don't step into Hawaii. That's Salix territory.
Fair enough.
Mess me up.
Ooh, I feel like I've got an answer. Scott, can I help Aaron out?
Are you going to steal?
Interjection with the steal? Angel Jez.
Yeah, the husband. Yeah, I'm gonna go for double points. The husband dresses up as the father-in-law and they role play and get the spice back into the marriage.
Fantastic. All right, Angel Jez, here for another set of points. A classical pianist in Arlington has her hands amputated after a zip lining accident. How do you help?
Ooh, I feel like you fuse a piano accordion onto her hand. Give her the gift of music. That's all she can do the rest of her life.
Final round. Angel Morgan, an 85-year-old man, dies a week before a big lawn bowls tournament in Scottsdale. His best friend needs to find a replacement, and the captain of the opposition team is Satan. How do you help?
A lot happening in Scottsdale.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Burn down the bowls club. It's just easier that way. That way no one can participate.
Classic.
Salt
right,
the earth.
Right out like of Satan's it. Playbook. Angel Aaron, a fitness instructor for the elderly in Jacksonville, finds out her favorite client needs to pay $10,000 in Bitcoin to a Russian hacker, or else he'll delete all the pictures of the client's deceased wife. How do you help?
I flood the Bitcoin market to fucking drop the price and then buy it for pennies on the dollar.
I love that idea. All right, final question. Angel Jez.
Ooh, counterpoint.
Oh, you stop sandbagging me, Jez.
You can't counterpoint.
You could have zagged a little bit here. You could have paid the Russian hackers and done tasteful recreations of all of the photos. Dressing up as the dead wife.
All right, final question. Angel Jez.
Think outside the box. Yeah.
A lawyer in Ascot. Angel Jez, a lawyer in Ascot Vale is trying to prove the innocence of his client who is being charged with manslaughter after what could only be described as a college prank gone wrong. The prosecution is the devil. How do you help?
Double down, make sure the prank goes right this time.
All right. And we're done.
Blame it on the local Simple Jack. Just trying to heat up some kittens.
All right. I got to say, in this episode of Rushed by an Angel, just for pure enthusiasm and heckling... the promotion is going to go to Angel Jez. It's firing on all cylinders. Outrageous. And he's going to serve the big man upstairs in a very immediate fashion and hit all those KPIs.
Yeah, I feel like the fire options I went with weren't really pushing my case. I mean, I'm not Michael here.
You let a lot slip. You let a lot just ride.
Yeah, well, I know. But I always find in any job, it's always best to do nothing.
Fair enough. It's gotten you this far.
Exactly.
Don't rock the boat.
Please tell me all of those were episodes of Touched by an Angel.
They're all just scenarios that I
need help with desperately. Really, they're pickles I'm currently in.
Really quickly tried to think of this morning and then typed in a random American town generator.
Even Ascot Vale?
Even Ascot Vale. No. The Ascot Vale lawyer thing was a Digger Jez.
I mean, Digger Jez. He is a lawyer, so...
Yeah, true. Anyway, that's Rushed by an Angel. We've got 7 billion people to serve. So, we've got to get the pace going.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these solutions that we came up with that sort of culled the population were helping our cause as well. You know?
Mm. Mm. Too bad. It took a very took a very Satan-centric approach to a lot of these problems, which is really thinking outside the box.
He's a good egg. He gets a bad rap.
Mm.
Prince of Darkness. I didn't have a reboot, but something I thought of when we were chatting pre-episode, Morgan, you were annoyed that I got a haircut because it delays my path to becoming the Tom Selleck I must become.
Mm.
So I'm thinking if I can request the services of an angel, I would like an angel for myself to guide me on that journey. I need some help. So if I can get a Selleck angel.
Just like a 1980s Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
So you're asking us to kill Tom Selleck?
Come down in like a white Hawaiian robe.
Mm.
Chest hair showing.
I don't think we can kill Tom Selleck, Jez. I don't think it's possible.
We can try. We can try for you, Aaron. If that's what you need, we can kill him.
Mm. If it's even possible. Tough. I don't think he can be killed.
He'll outlive us all.
Mm, it's true. Anyway, shall we move into IMDb list of the week? Let's stop calling it that because it's not. I mean, let's just say. No, we're sticking with it. It's fine. List of the week.
No, list of the episode. I like the fact that it continually doesn't really have a name and it just struggle for it every just single
the
episode.
The thing that happens at the end.
Your time in the sun now.
That's happening at the end of this episode is from Robinson Jamie 30. It is a list called Celebs Who Have Replied to Me on Social Media.
Oh.
Which I was very stoked when I just saw the name of this. And the Teed by an A star is Roma Downey herself. Replied to me on Twitter and commented on my Instagram post and responded to a comment on Facebook.
Oh, geez. Triple threat.
Yeah.
Three.
Huge.
Three.
Yeah. Roma respects her fans. Number one on the list is Julie Newmar, who played Catwoman in the Adam West Batman. She's replied to her a few times on Facebook. Number two, Dylan Sprouse, who played the kid in Big Daddy, which apparently there were twins that played that kid.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that, actually.
I was lost in Big Daddy trivia before the episode.
They in something else as twins?
Oh, I don't know.
It sounds familiar. Surely.
So some of the hits were at number 15, Penn Jillette. Directly or indirectly spoke to me during an atheist Christian debate on Twitter.
So I feel like this person is on the Christian side of that divide.
If they're teed by an A, they're sure.
If they're hitting up Roma Downey on Twitter.
And if they're invoking the wrath of Penn. I really didn't know many of the 52 people on this list. But down lucky last, your man Morgan, Dean Cain.
Oh, my boy.
Replied to them on Twitter.
Big Dean Cain guy. This is a very Dean Cain orientated sure house. That's why I've laid out that my shutters are Dean Cain style shutters.
Has he responded to you on social media yet?
No, I'm too embarrassed. I can't hit him up. I just read all his books to decorating homes.
And you mean the unsolicited dick pics? Has he responded to those yet?
No, not yet, sadly. But we'll keep trying. I'll just
You'll find the right angle.
I need to get the right angle, right lighting.
Maybe number 376 will be the magic number.
I think it's the difficult part is I put an Australian coin in there for scale, but I don't think he knows Australian currency that well. That's the problem.
You're just not impressed by seeing your member dwarf a $2 coin.
That's the problem. The 50-cent coin's too big.
Yeah. Yep. You gotta be tactical with the.
It's hard. It's really tough. It's tough. Jeez. I need to get my hands on an American quarter. That'll probably help me out. But I'm not gonna give up on the dream. I'm gonna keep sending Dean Cain dick pics.
You're primed to be cucked by Chris Angel Morgs.
Yeah, you are. Doing the Lord's work.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, all right. Well, I'm not even gonna ask the question because obviously no one's gonna watch any more of this show. It was weird, slow paced, and
I'm going to listen to the theme song.
You are the Walk With Me.
Yeah, it's good. It's a banger.
It's got some Della Reese. She's got some pipes on her. That's for sure. I might go back and watch the Attached by an Angel Murder She Wrote crossover episode.
Is that a thing?
No, Angela Lansbury's just in an episode. So I assume she plays Murder She Wrote, the character. Whatever the character is. We should do Murder She Wrote.
That'd be perfect. No,
We definitely should.
Yeah. I feel like that's...
I feel like there'd be good crossover, right? They're both sort of solving problems, right? A crime is just a problem.
Yep. A cop is just an angel.
I want to see the CSI Miami crossover.
I have a question for you. Who wins in a fist fight, Tom Selleck or Angela Lansbury?
Bare knuckle or gloves?
It's a street. It's a street fight. There's no rules.
Lansbury then. Selleck's too pretty. She's a scrapper.
Selleck got sleeves or no sleeves?
Oh, he's got no sleeves. So probably Selleck's back in the cards then. I think if it's a sleeveless fight.
He's probably got better range.
Open Hawaiian vest.
Better reach than Lansbury.
It's true. Lansbury's just like, she's just probably got, I don't know, some sort of magic powers. I don't know what would be. She can solve how to take Selleck down. Maybe that's what the Magnum PI and that she wrote episode crossover was. It was just like a 40-minute fist fight between Angela Lansbury and Tom Selleck.
Like Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, yeah. Fight Night sort of thing.
Yep.
Have you ever seen the movie Goon with Sean William Scott?
No.
Yeah, okay. There's an end scene where he fights Liev Schreiber and they're literally just slamming each other in the face and neither of them are going down. It's like that. It's a bloodbath. One can only imagine. I don't know. Okay, well, look, we should probably just wrap things up there. I think we've taken the Tom Selleck, Angela Lansbury joke as far as we can, and we've certainly taken Touchpoint Angel as far as we can. Jez, I assume you need to get back to luring people into your dungeon.
I do, yes. I haven't fed in a few hours. I'm getting the shakes.
Okay. Well, we should definitely let you get back to that. So if you can, please rate, review us on your preferred podcasting platform. It does help us get out there. Also, if you can, jump on our website and give us a suggestion. We're always keen to see what you want us to listen to and review.
Otherwise, we're doing Touch by an Angel again.
Yeah, don't let us do that.
Please, save us.
Save us from ourselves.
Yeah, do exactly. The Lord's work and give us something else to cover.
All right. Well, anyway, Jez, you get back out there and lure some hobos into your dungeon.
Will do.
Scott and Aaron, stay away from Ascot Vale. Don't get lured into Jez's dungeon.
Sound advice.
Okay. Thanks, guys.